Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Revelation, chapter 15. Just going to read a couple of verses this morning. I think we have some of the finest music in Bucyrus here on Sunday mornings. A long, long time ago, many, many moons ago, when we were still in the parsonage, we were hosting Amy's family for Thanksgiving, and she has an uncle who's a diehard Chicago Bears fan, and that was back when on Thanksgiving Day the Lions would normally play the Bears. And so we subscribed to cable television for just a couple of months, and I remember watching some of the broadcasts of some of the other church services in town, and some of the music that they played, it was just comical. It was so poorly done. And so just praise the Lord for those that put the effort into it here and the quality of music we can have, which moves right into the message today. Now, I was asked some things about music here recently, and so I thought, well, the person that really needs a little bit of guidance or a little bit of assistance is not a part of our church, and so I went back and dug out this outline, and can't believe it's been that long since I preached it. It's since 2012. But it's a good reminder for us, just simply a biblical philosophy of music. And so I want to take just a quick look at that this morning. So if you're in Revelation 15, would you please stand out of respect to the Word of God? We're going to begin reading with verse number 2. Revelation chapter 15, verse number 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, of course, those last few verses they sang, I'd like to know the tune to that song. But there's coming a day when I'll be able to witness this and hear the tune to that song. This is just history recorded for us before it has taken place. But let's pause and ask God's blessing on his message. Father, we thank you for your word and the things we can learn from it. Give us understanding this morning and conviction of heart to follow that which you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned, I want to just simply take a look at music. Now, when I brought this message last time, it took me 2 weeks to get through. I'm going to see if I can get through it once in one message. And so I want to begin by looking at the purpose of music. We're going to look at three things: the purpose of music, the importance of music, and the type of music that God says you should listen to. Now, if you want to have your life count for Christ, and if you want His blessings in your life, and you want to grow spiritually, which I think probably all of us would answer yes to every one of those questions, or else we wouldn't be here this morning. But what we often don't realize is that the music we listen to from Monday through Saturday has an incredible impact on our lives in these areas. We will never reach our spiritual potential if we're not listening to the right kind of music. And God gives us some guidelines in His Word about the music. But to lay some groundwork, I want to consider the purpose of music. Why did God give us music in the first place? And here in Revelation chapter 15, what we're finding is that, first of all, music is for worship. Music is for worship. It's not entertainment. You'll find that curiously absent from any of the biblical verses we're going to look at regarding the purpose of music. So often today, Christian music is nothing more than entertainment. Early in our Christian lives, Amy and I used to like to go to singings. And there's one group that I wouldn't recommend, but we really enjoyed them because they admitted, and they made no excuses about it, that they were providing Christian entertainment. They didn't try to make it ministry because it wasn't ministry. It was entertainment. But that's not the purpose and the point of music in the Scriptures. The first we find is that of worship. Unfortunately, a lot of churches today are calling their worship time, which would specifically only refer to the time of the music in their churches, they refer to that as their worship service, and yet they have the smoke going or the fog, and they have the lights, and they have the rock band up front, and all they're doing is trying to entertain the crowd. That's not worship. But the crowd gets all pumped up, and they get into the beat and the rhythm of the music, and they think, man, the Holy Spirit of God is in this because my whole body just wants to move with the music. And they are so far from the truth. And it's so unfortunate that so many people are mistaken and don't really have an experience of worship because they just don't comprehend what it's all about. One of the purposes of music, and I think one of the primary purposes, is that of worship. Turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we find the second purpose why God has given us music in the church and in our personal lives. It's interesting that Jesus himself sang in the church. The Bible tells us so. The only record we have is at the Last Supper. After they finished, they sang a hymn, and then they left the room and went to the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus thought singing was important as he participated in it as well. And as I said, the Bible says he sang in the church. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, music is not only for worship, but it's also for teaching. For teaching. Look at verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, we really need to make a point of this section right here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because this is the content of the song. So often we sing a song based on its melody, or we enjoy a song based on its melody or the rhythm. And we remove the music from the words and we think, well, this is a great song because I just love the music. God says, when he's here in Colossians chapter 3 talking about music, he says, make sure it's biblical. Make sure it's doctrinally sound. I was listening to a CD that I really enjoy. One of the Hiles Anderson College Tour Group CDs. And I was kind of surprised because I was listening to the words. What you really need to do when you listen to music, if it's ever going to accomplish its purpose in your life, and I found a very startling doctrinal error in one of the songs that I really like on that CD. It said that Jesus is God's only son. Now, how many of you would recognize a doctrinal, serious doctrinal issue with that? A lot of people will just glance over that and say, well, that's not a serious doctrinal issue. But it is a serious doctrinal issue. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse number 16, that Jesus is God's only, what's the next word? Begotten Son. You see, if Jesus is God's only Son, that means you're not a Son of God. It means I'm not a Son of God, even though the Bible in other places specifically says that we are the child of God. We are sons of God. That's a doctrinal issue. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, because he was begotten in the virgin womb of Mary. Music is supposed to have a doctrinal stability to it, a doctrinal soundness. And when it lacks that, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to reach over to the off button, or to change the channel button, or station button, or change the CD button, or whatever button you need to hit, you need to turn it off, because that is doctrinal error. Let's move on. Verse number 16 of Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Now here is how the word of Christ is to dwell in us richly with all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, we're supposed to fill our lives, not just a church service. This isn't talking about a church service, I don't believe. It involves a church service, but this is primarily Monday through Saturday. We're supposed to fill our hearts with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that are doctrinally sound. We're supposed to listen to good, godly Christian life. Now, the question goes back to, do you want to be all that God wants you to be?
Do you want to reach spiritual maturity, your spiritual potential? Are you satisfied just groveling around, knowing you're on your way to heaven, but never really achieving spiritual greatness? Now, every one of us in this room has the potential to reach spiritual greatness. But this is one of the keys that is so often overlooked, and we think it's just doesn't matter in our lives, and that won't have any effect on me, and that I can listen to whatever I want to listen to, and the pastor doesn't have any business telling me what I need to listen to. Well, if you have a problem, please don't take it up with me. Take it up with the one who wrote it. Take it up with God. He said it, not me. I'm just telling you what the Word of God tells you, that music is given to us for worship, not entertainment. It's given to us for teaching, and therefore needs to be doctrinally correct. Now, if you're listening to some other genre of music, such as country or rock, what are you getting? In the rock anymore, you're getting sex or drugs and violence. That's the content. I don't know what the content of country music is, but what I heard, it's the wife leaves, the dog leaves, and the guy misses the dog. You know, that's country music. What's that teaching you? Having trouble in your marriage? What are you listening to? Listen to good, doctrinally sound, godly music. It will change you, and God designed it to have a teaching ministry in your lives. We're supposed to fill our hearts with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When you're out working in the yard, what's the song in your heart? What tune are you whistling? Is it a top 40? Or is it one of the good old great hymns of the faith? The third reason that God gave us music, the first is worship, the second is teaching, and there's no way I'm going to finish this week, so we'll continue it next week. But expressing emotion. Music has a way of expressing emotion like words cannot do, or putting those thoughts into words that other people can understand, because the music itself is a language. I know there are many who would deny this, that say music expresses no thoughts, it's entirely and 100% neutral. Most of those Christians that try to justify listening to rock music justify it on those grounds. That the music itself is neutral. That's not true. Not if you look in the Bible. The Bible used music to express all types of emotion. It expressed joy. Now look back at 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to be in the Old Testament here for a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse number 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And so they had a great victory over the Philistines, which had been oppressing them for years. And now God has given some deliverance. And as the army came home, the women came out to greet their husbands and the army of King Saul with song, with joy, and expressing their emotion of gratitude to God for doing what He has done. And so music expresses joy at the physical victories, but also at spiritual victories. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. You go 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, then 1 Samuel. 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. But we're going to be in 1 Chronicles first. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. So it goes Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. It's easier if I just do it that way. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 8. David wanted to build a tabernacle for the ark, because as King Saul had died in battle, the ark had been taken captive by the Philistines. The Philistines sent it back because God brought judgment on the Philistines, and it stayed in some of the outer villages of Israel, and David wanted to bring it home to Jerusalem. In verse number 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we read this, "And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and trumpets." And this is when they began to move the ark. And the response here, their joy was at spiritual victories in their life. Now, this time it didn't end well, but they repeated the process, doing it the way that God wanted them to move the ark, and they had the great victory. But the joy is being expressed at a great spiritual victory. Now, notice the instruments that they're using. Because I always wonder about these rock and roll churches that have their own rock band. Are they expecting to worship God like that in heaven? Does anyone in their right minds think that God has a drum set in heaven? Or even worse, an electric bass guitar or electric guitars in heaven? And that the angels are up there not playing harps, but they're playing electric guitars and electric bass. Who in their right mind thinks these things? And so why are they trying to worship God that way today? Look at the instruments they use. Harps, psalteries, which is a kind of type of a harp, timbrels, or a tambourine, cymbals and trumpets. Try to get a rock beat out of that, or a rock rhythm, or even a country and blues, or country rhythm. Any kind of music other than godly music out of those instruments. That's what God has given us. Those are the instruments similar to that we see in heaven. All right, and so music expresses emotion, the emotion of joy for physical victories, for spiritual victories, for revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Music has always been a part of God's people's lives. The people of God have always been singing people. I remember when I first got saved and started coming to church, I had never sung in my life. And I didn't sing during the congregational singing. The pastor put pressure on the people I always sat with. And they put pressure on me. And they finally said, we're not going to sit with you anymore if you won't sing. And so I sang very, very poorly. And they said after the service, if you sing, we'll never sit with you again. That's how bad it was. That's an honest story. That's the truth. But God's people have always been singing people, and that was the pastor's concern. Was I saved or was I not saved? If I was saved, I ought to be singing. And I agree with that. God's people have always been singing people, and when revival breaks out, it's accompanied with song. We'll never have revival if we're not listening to the right song. You'll never have revival in your life, which means we'll never have revival as a church if you're not listening to the right song and you're not putting the right music into your life from Sunday through Sunday. Not just Sunday through the same day Sunday, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all week long until the next Sunday rolls around. Your revival will never come in your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, let's start with verse number 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into, now here's where we're seeing the revival in the country. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, and with all their soul. They didn't do it half-heartedly. They didn't say, well, I'll give it a try, and if it doesn't work out, we'll go back to the old way. They're not saying, well, I'll just go through the motions so that it looks good and I can fool other people. No, it's with all their heart and with all their soul. Verse number 13, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Now, that doesn't use the word revival anywhere in that passage, but I think what we're reading as we read that is nothing less than a revival. All the signs of revival are there, and one of those signs is singing, an expression of joy at the goodness of God in their lives and the commitment of God's people that they made to one another, but also before God in heaven. And so music is for worship, for teaching, for expressing the emotion of joy, but also the emotion of praise. Sometimes praise is spontaneous. Praise is not always synonymous with worship. Because Job worshiped in his most difficult hour of his life. But there was no praise on Job's lip. He was struggling. And so praise and worship are not synonymous. Praise is spontaneous joy at what God has done in our lives, just that need to praise Him for the things He's done. Israel did it back in Exodus 15. Now, we're not going to turn there, trying to save a little bit of time here, but Israel broke into spontaneous expressions of praise to Almighty God as Moses taught them the Song of Moses after they had crossed the Red Sea. And you remember what happened there. They had just been released from bondage, driven out of Egypt, and God led them to the brink of the Red Sea. And if you study the geography of where they were, you know that there was a steep mountain to the north, a steep mountain to the south, the Red Sea to the east, and then the Egyptian army. Pharaoh brought all his chariots and all his horses were charging fast and furiously towards the Israelites. I'm not sure if it was to kill them or if it was to take them back into slavery. Probably a combination. And Israel is panicking. And God gives Moses the instruction. He holds his rod over the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts. Israel walks through on dry ground. A little bit different than the pictures you see. There wasn't just this narrow little path where you could go like this and touch water on both sides, because the whole millions of Israel got through in a night. So we're talking a wide path that Israel walked through, that God had opened up. Dry ground, not muddy. They have to worry about leaving a sandal behind. You ever do that in the mud? I remember when our kids ran cross country, running at Ontario, and their track kind of ran through the woods and stuff, and it came back towards the school. But just as it came back towards the school, there were trees on both sides, so you had to stay right in the path. It was a big mud puddle. And I remember this one girl, I don't even remember what school she ran for, but she stepped in that, came out, and left her shoe in the middle of the puddle. What do you do? You got to run for time. I think she went back for her shoe and just walked the rest of the way because it was pointless at that point. She lost too much time. But Israel didn't have to worry about that. They had to worry about covering their faces because of the dust coming up from the people in front of them because it was dry ground. But Egypt followed behind. And God closed those waters on them. They get on the other side, and Israel was full of praise at what God had done for them, delivering them from the Egyptian army, but also from the captivity. You see, when God works in your life, you should have praise. And that praise should reveal itself through song. You can't do that through country. You can't do that through rock and roll. You can't do that through any secular music. Because they curse God rather than praising God. That's why God gave us music to praise Him with, expressing that emotion. But also express the emotion of sorrow. We all go through sorrowful times in our life. The whole book of Lamentations, it was all a song of sorrow as Jeremiah stood over the city of Jerusalem after it had just been destroyed by the Babylonian army. And the temple had been broken down and the city walls had been broken down and there was really nothing left but rubble. And Jeremiah, the city that he loved so much, Jeremiah was looking over and seeing the death and carnage everywhere. And he just broke into sorrow and tears. And God gave him what we know as the Book of Lamentations as it recorded what he saw and what he felt as a result of that. You see, song expresses our sorrow, our emotions. But there's another purpose of music. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Sometimes it's easy to get stressed out in life. Did you know God gave us music to help us deal with stress and the issues we deal with in life, to relax us and to reset our minds back where they belong? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, there's actually three things going on, all in response to the music here in verse number 23. When David played his harp, now we have many of these songs that David would have played recorded for us in the book of Psalms. We don't have the tune, but we have the words. But three things happened. First of all was that relaxation, that refreshment. Are you stressed out? Is life getting you down? Well, listen to some godly music. You know, the rock music isn't going to do it. Just because of the very nature of what makes rock music. It does not relax. It does just the opposite. It builds tension. It's the way it's made. It's the way it's created. It's done on purpose. And it all has to do with the beat and the music and the rhythm, natural rhythms of the body. The rock music contradicts the natural rhythm of the body, and it creates a tension in the body. David played godly music, the right kind of music, and it brought refreshment. A second thing that happened is it brought emotional wellness. King Saul was struggling with, today we'd call it emotional disease. He was just under such conviction of disobeying God and rebelling against God. Remember, God, through Samuel, told Saul that God was removing the kingdom from King Saul. And King Saul never got over that emotionally. The regret and the conviction of the sin. You think you can sin without any consequences? It will catch up to you. But when the music was played, Saul was able to have peace of mind. He was able to become well emotionally. The third thing is just, I find, incredible. The evil spirit departed from him. We don't like to recognize the presence of demonic beings, but they're very real. The Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us we have an adversary, and that our adversary has an army on his side. And that army, led by their leader, we call him the devil or Satan, that they are bent on your destruction. That is all they want, is to destroy. And the reason they want to destroy you is because you are made in the image of God, and you have taken the name of God upon your life if you're saved this morning. And so they just want to destroy you and tear you in pieces. But notice here what happened when godly music was played. The evil spirit left. You see, they can't stand godly music. Now, I remember back when I was in, before I was saved and into secular rock music, some of the bands I listened to, what many people don't know about them is that when they would record an album, before they would start mass producing it, they would take that album to the local satanic temple and have the local satanic temple put a curse on that record. See, this is the kind of thing they don't advertise. This is the kind of thing that the average Christian doesn't know. And then they stand up and they argue that my rock music won't hurt me. Instead of repelling demonic spirits by listening to that garbage, you're inviting the demonic spirits into your life. And then you wonder why you struggle spiritually. You wonder why you read the Word of God and it's dry. And you wonder why when you pray, your prayers don't seem to get past the ceiling. And you wonder why when you're trying to serve God, there's no results and there's no power in the Christian life. And why church is boring. It's because you're listening to the wrong music. You change your music to good, godly music, and all of these things will straighten themselves out. Because God has given us music for a reason. And it's not entertainment. And it's not just everybody to listen to what they prefer. It's not a matter of preference. But it's a matter of biblical instruction, teaching us what is right. And the first thing we learned this morning is just simply that God has given it for a purpose. The purpose of worship, teaching, expressing our emotions, and relaxing. Those are the four purposes of music. And as I said, entertainment is nowhere found in the Scriptures in regards to godly music. And so the old argument, this is what I like, and I'm not going to change, runs contrary to the Word of God. It really does. Because that statement says, my music is for my entertainment. What are you listening to? As I said, we'll continue this next week, and I'm sure we'll finish next week with this brief series on music. I think it's important. I don't think any of us in this room understand how important godly music is in our Christian lives. So the question is, what are you listening to? Would it meet the approval of heaven, or will it not? It doesn't matter if it meets my approval, but will it meet God's approval? That's all that matters. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I understand music is a touchy subject, just because of the very nature of music to reach into our very souls. But Father, that also expresses why it's so critical that we listen to that which pleases you. Father, help us to form biblical convictions on this. And even though it might be difficult to change our music, especially if we're used to a heavy rhythm type of music, to then begin listening to music without that heavy rhythm. Father, I know I was there one time. I know how difficult that struggle is. But Father, I know with the help of the Holy Spirit, if our music is wrong, you can show us its wrongness and help us to learn to enjoy that which is right and glorifying of you. And so Father, this morning, help each one of us to make a decision to put our music under the microscope of your word, seeking your pleasure. Well, thank you for the decisions that will be made. In Jesus' name, amen.